That's actually a really good question. How much time do we have?
Science by anybody and for everybody.
How we build that internet is by getting our hands dirty. And so that's exactly
what science is supposed to be from the very beginning, you know.
Hello, I'm Julie Gould, and welcome to the Citizens of Science podcast, an audio exploration and celebration of all things citizen science and open science. Now, we know citizen scientists to be those who aren't professional scientists getting their hands dirty by doing science. But what do we really mean when we say, I'm a citizen scientist? What is this science thing that we are doing? Is it just a subject like biology, chemistry, or physics? Or is it the collection of data? Or is it something else entirely? Or do we not even think about what science side of citizen science is? In this first episode, I'm keen on finding out what the differences are in the meaning of the word science, depending on whether you're a scientist, a citizen scientist, or someone who organises citizen science projects. So I'm chatting to Rebecca Nesbitt, David Urey and Penny Fletcher, who are all from the Society of Biology. And from them, I find out that there's actually quite a big difference. I spoke to each of them individually, and then we had a group discussion at the end. So first up is Rebecca Nesbitt. She's got a strong background in science, having spent some time in research. Now that she's at the Society of Biology, she organises several citizen science projects, including the flying ants and house spider surveys.
So you've done science as a scientist, you've done science as a citizen, and you're involved in setting up these citizen science projects. So in each of those stages, could you describe to me what do you think science means for you as a researcher, for you as a citizen scientist, and for you as someone who organises citizen science projects?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it's true that science does mean something different to me in each of those contexts. Certainly as a researcher and when I'm setting up a citizen science project, I've got a question that I want to answer. And I'm thinking of the most logical way that I can collect evidence to answer that question. And in the case, we'll take the flying ant survey as an example. I was wanting to make sure that I was going to be able to collect reliable data, and I was thinking that the only way I can do this is by having lots of people who are around the country to do that. I think as a citizen science project, I may be thinking less about the question and more about just meticulous recording of my data rather than actually the analysis of how anyone is going to work out what this means or a question with it.
Which of those three versions of science, now that you've sort of left the research side of things, which one of those do you feel most at home with now?
I think I actually feel quite comfortable with all of them, and I probably feel least at home as a citizen scientist because I've always got the most difficult job then. I'm quite used to thinking logically, coming up with ideas for experiments, thinking of all the reasons why this data might be good quality, why the data I'm collecting might not be that reliable. As a citizen scientist, I know that the responsibility is on me to make that data as reliable as possible. And so, for example, when I'm identifying moths, I do often have to ask for help to make sure that I am recording things accurately.
Is there a lot of conflict then between with a background as a researcher and you taking part as a citizen scientist in projects that you haven't organised?
Actually, it works very well. And what I have learned as a scientist is the importance of getting the data right, and that your outcomes are only as reliable as the data you put into it. So I think as a citizen scientist, sometimes it's tempting to be lazy with your data and think, oh, I can't remember exactly, I'm not quite sure what this moth is, I'll put down something, I'm not sure about it. I think having been a research scientist, it has made me extra aware as a citizen scientist of the importance of making sure I get it right.
From your perspective of having seen science from all three different sides, what do you think citizen scientists perceived to be?
I'm not sure that they're necessarily all interested in the science. A lot of people have quite an emotional response to flying ants, and you associate them with your childhood. And I think a lot of people, they're not even thinking about the science, the question. They are just seeing a sight that appeals to them and are keen that someone else is wanting to hear about their experiences with flying ants. I do get this feeling that there are lots and lots of different attitudes and lots of motivations why people are collecting this data. But it's hard to answer on behalf of other people, because I think a lot of the people who are participating in the Flying Ant Survey are seeing this in exactly the same way as me. They are very interested in the question, in the process of how this data is being analysed. And with the flying ants, it's a good example because a lot of people have theories about flying ants. A lot of people say, oh, every year it's on my birthday, or they've got preconceptions of what they think the answer will be to the question of when is Flying Ant Day. And so they are very, very interested in how we are using this data to maybe dispel some of the myths. And they are very interested in the results that we are putting forward.
David Urey is the regional coordinator at the Society of Biology. He engages members and the general public across the UK with the Society's activities. And he's also involved in projects like the Flying Ant Survey, and in the past has contributed to the Opal Bug Project, and is generally interested in anything with bugs, insects and all the creepy crawly things.
What inspired you to get involved in citizen science?
I mean, to be honest, it wasn't really a conscious decision. It was more suddenly you could not only go for a walk and sort of look at birds and bugs as I used to do, but you could actually contribute important data. So it was more just not a conscious decision, but suddenly these apps, these programs, surveys became available. And I just thought, why not do what I pretty much did before, but actually contribute to some recording schemes or to some scientific projects?
Do you have a scientific background yourself?
Yes, I studied biology. Decided not to go into research, mainly because I wasn't confident I was sort of meticulous enough or methodical enough to really do something like a PhD, which is why actually one of the reasons citizen science appeals is because you can make some sort of contribution without necessarily having to set up the rigorous processes involved in producing significant data, etc.
So before you started getting involved in citizen science, what did you think science was?
Well, from studying it, I obviously had a fairly good understanding of the processes involved. I guess I thought it was a serious business, if you like. There are certain expectations and requirements to produce valid hypotheses, to explain them, processes and the methods involved and any results well enough, and almost rules associated with it, you know, to get things published. It is a serious business, and it should be, because we need to make sure it's done well. And I guess the thing is with citizen science is somebody else is doing a little bit of the hard work for you, if you like. They're the ones having to work out how the data can be useful, what the process is involved, and you sort of get to do the fun stuff a little bit without necessarily being involved in the more laborious, meticulous side of it.
So the meaning of science, has it changed for you since leaving the sort of the world of academia and now being involved in citizen science?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I guess what's changed is more an appreciation of the different ways that you can be involved in science, and the sort of less intimidating ways that you can be involved, and almost that you can be doing science without realizing it. And I think that's certainly a success of citizen science. It bridges the gap. It stops it being something which is distant and carried out by people wearing lab coats, you know, looking down microscopes.
For yourself, having had a background in science and understanding the research methods that scientists have, do you think that those who don't have that understanding, who haven't got a scientific background, do you think that they're at a disadvantage when they start out at a, in a citizen science project?
If it's a good citizen science project, then they shouldn't be. I mean, it has to be accessible. It has to be different points of accessibility. And obviously, the range of citizen science projects around means that some are more appropriate for beginners, if you like, than others. I think there are definitely citizen science programs where if you didn't have an understanding, you would be at a disadvantage. But those that come up with the programs have to realize if they want, have to make it easy and accessible for those that don't have the background to get involved. And that's the job of those that are creating the programs, really.
Our final guest, Penny Fletcher, organises the events and public engagement activities for the Society of Biology. She's done several bumblebee projects in her past life as a researcher, but now takes part in the Society's projects as well as enjoying speaking to the public about what science is.
Have you had any experience in citizen science?
The first time I was involved in citizen science was during my PhD on pollination, when I helped with pollinator surveys and leading those in the local area. And since then, I've helped with projects here at the Society of Biology on flying ants and before a citizen science project involving looking at pollinators on lavender plants.
So it was just something that you did for fun?
Yeah, to get experience. I realised quite early on that I wasn't going to be a research scientist, and PhD really eliminated that as a career option, that I really enjoyed certain elements of science, particularly involving people and explaining science to them as well. So I volunteered lots to get experience.
So you say that you explained science to people. So explain to our listeners, what do you think science is?
So I think science allows us to find out about the world around us and to find out how to make things better. That's the most simple way I can explain it, I guess. And I've never actually been asked that question by people, and I don't know, people don't tend to kind of, when you speak to the public, they don't say, oh, what is science? They immediately look at what you're presenting them and they just relate it to something in their life. So, for example, whenever I've spoken to people about pollination or bees, they just immediately start talking about their gardens, or, you know, the bee they've seen in their garden, or that they've got an apple tree that hasn't been pollinated. And I think that's where you always have to start any sort of citizen science or public engagement project, is kind of where people will relate to science and then show how what research is doing is relevant to their lives and find a way of doing that. So that's my experience.
Science, for those who are unfamiliar with it, is more of a relation between what's happening in the lab and what's happening in their personal life.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a real opportunity to develop citizen science whereby people are starting to understand the process of science. And I think it really helps people. It will help things like increasing the trust in science and scientists if people can understand, you know, the rigorous process of doing, say, a science experiment, and then being able to kind of look at different evidence or something they see in the paper, a claim in the paper, say in the newspaper, they'll be able to say, well, you know, what, maybe if they know more about the scientific process, they'll be able to assess that more objectively.
I'm now opening up the discussion to the floor, and in this podcast we've been exploring what science means to researchers, to citizen scientists, and to those who explore and set up citizen science projects. So I've got Becky, David and Penny here with me. And guys, I'm going to open it up to you. We've talked a little bit about it. You've heard what each other said. What sort of impressions are you getting? Becky, let's start with you.
I think when Penny said that a lot of people she speaks to relate when she is talking about science, they relate it to what they see in their garden. And I think a lot of people, they do, when they go outside, they do have a scientific mindset. They ask themselves questions, what's happening, why is this happening, and they make their own observations. And sometimes citizen science is a way of formalising that. So their observations that they've maybe been thinking about, keeping to themselves, can now actually become part of a rigorous study.
Okay. David, what about you? What impressions did you get from what else you heard Penny and Becky say?
I think it's right that what Penny was saying is a lot of times people will be carrying out science without really realising it, because they wouldn't necessarily have classified what they're doing as science. But I think the key step to make is to then make them realize it is science, it is a valuable contribution. And I think what programs have to do, citizen science programs, is to ensure that those involved aren't just involved in the input, but they're actually involved in and kept informed with the value of their data and what it's used for and any results that are coming out. I think that that's really important, so that they realize that they've taken part in something fun, but also that it has had a scientific output.
What about getting citizen scientists involved in the setup of a project?
I think it's a really good point. I think that something that should be focused on is you know, a bottom-up approach, and actually people posing the hypotheses themselves, the citizens, if you like, rather than having a hypothesis. I mean, there are lots of ways you can do it. One of them is obviously organising the programme, having a hypothesis, and then presenting it to citizen scientists. But I think as much as possible, where possible, if scientists themselves can go to the general public and try and get people to come up with their own hypotheses and then develop a programme around that, that immediately will become much more engaging to those people that were involved in the setup. It means that they're involved at the start of the scientific process, not just halfway through.
Penny, what do you think?
I agree with everything David and Becky were saying, and making it easy to get involved is really important. And knowing what groups of people that you are expecting to get involved.
Becky, what do you think?
I think it's very, very difficult. We have thousands of people contributing to our projects. It's difficult to get everyone involved in the planning, coming up with a hypothesis, thinking about how to test this. But I think this is really, really important. And perhaps we are often stuck in our same mindset of how to do things. I'm sure it's very valuable to have people from different backgrounds with different perspectives to talk through the same problems with us.
Okay, so it might be interesting to get some people, some citizens on board for your next citizen science project.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That would be really good.
And I think there's been a project that was done by the Centre for Ecology and Hydrology, where they were looking at conker trees with a disease, or no, moth.
Leaf miner caterpillar.
That was it. And in the second year of the project, they actually involved the citizens that had been involved in the first year in forming the new question for the second year, based on observations that lots of the citizens had made. So people became really keen, and lots of people were making the same observation. So it actually informed the scientists about something that they wouldn't have been able to notice had they been doing the data collection just themselves on their own, because it was a nationwide project. So
it was much more of a two-way learning process.
Again, that's a real opportunity with citizen science to become very two-way, both in terms of, you know, having these conversations between scientists and citizens, but also what can scientists get back from the citizens that take part, and capitalise on, you know, the real excitement that is generated in what people are observing around them.
Okay, well, great. Becky, David, Penny, thank you so much for joining me.
If you want to contribute your thoughts to this discussion, please leave a comment in the comment section below, or do get involved on Twitter with the Citizens of Science hashtag. Alternatively, join in on the podcast. We're still looking for people's opinions and ideas on what they think science really means. Next week, Jem Stansfield from Bangos the Theory gives his opinion on what he thinks science really is. The Citizens of Science podcast is supported by the Citizen Cyber Lab and is produced by Julie Gould, with theme music by Pit X.